Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.
All right. Hello, hello, and welcome to the Thursday edition of Business Sense right here on Adventist World Radio. We are powered by SID Media. The number that you can use to talk to us, it is +27 7347 0352 0. That is +27 7347 0352 0. And you know that on Thursdays, we do this thing called a Shapeshifter. And this is where we bring you some of the leading minds in the African continent as they tell us a little bit about themselves. We've seen them do great things. We've seen them lead industries. We've seen them in academia and all different other places. And today, we use this slot every single Thursday to just get to the person behind the person. And today is no different at all. My shapeshifter this evening, it is a confidence coach, Becky Kay, who is also a popular radio and television personality. So I'm sitting here and I'm thinking to myself, I should have given her this job because, wow. You know, she's also a podcaster as well as a sought-after MC, and she's given us her time this evening to talk to us, and we really, really appreciate it. Good evening, Becky Kay.
Good evening. How are you? I'm
doing very well. Thank you so much for asking. And yourself?
No, I'm doing well, you know, chilled after work.
Yes.
And just, you know, trying to get into the smooth of things.
Yeah. Oh my goodness, where do I even start? I'm sitting here, I'm having goosebumps, I'm having imposter syndrome. I'm like, no, it should not be the other way around.
Don't be like that. I used to have that.
No.
And my young sister actually said to me, imposter syndrome is when you look at yourself and you're not looking at God.
Ah.
So if you look at God and the work that he's doing in you and through you, imposter syndrome, outside the door, please.
And never coming back, eh?
Never coming back.
Ah, look at that. Thank you so much, ma'am, for your time.
No, it's a pleasure.
Really, really, really appreciate it. Okay, so we use Thursdays to talk about the person behind the person, right? And precisely for two reasons, for young people, right?
Right.
Particularly young black people, to also know that it's possible, it can be done, right? Whatever that they're chasing, whatever dreams that they might have. And secondly, we use it to look to talk to the person behind the person, because it can be intimidating when someone looks at you like, yo, how do I even start talking to this person? And we want to talk to then the person behind the person, so that gets exposed as well. Because I do think that, you know, sometimes we amass all these things, and not necessarily because we think we are better and all that, but then people look at us and like, yo, how do I even start talking to that person? And so this becomes a very important slot for that. So that's why we appreciate you and for giving us your time this evening.
Thank you.
Radio, television, oh, a lot, podcaster as well. But I want to go back. Where were you born and how were things when you were born?
All right. So am I like going into detail? Like, do you want to know my age, or I can just be like, I was born in this place?
Freestyle this thing, whichever way.
All right. I'm a December baby.
Oh, look at that.
Yes, I'm a December baby, born in the year 1984.
Okay.
And I was born in Zimbabwe, in a small town called Kwekwe. In a small town called Kwekwe. Later moved on to Bulawayo. So I love to say I'm Kwekwe born, Bulawayo raised.
Okay.
And then I did my hustle in Harare.
Okay.
Yeah, okay. Did my hustle in Harare. But growing up in Zimbabwe has been just like a true blessing because of all the lessons that it has taught me from the young age and even grown up as I am.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't mind traveling the world and going around, but I will always come back home.
Okay. Kwekwe. I mean, I think a lot of people who have never been to Zimbabwe probably know Harare and Bulawayo, because those seem
Those are the towns that are popping.
Yes. What was it like in Kwekwe?
Oh, do I even remember Tabelo? Oh my gosh. I remember chasing the ice cream man. That's
oh, okay. All right.
But we lived in a beautiful neighborhood called Redcliffe.
Okay.
My mom worked in the banking sector. She was with Barclays Bank.
Yeah.
My dad was one of the first black engineers at Vistal Steel. Yeah. So it was a beautiful, you know, quiet neighborhood.
Yeah.
Life was good.
Yeah.
I won't lie. Life was good. But from Kwekwe, we then moved to Bulawayo because my dad wanted to start a business.
Yes.
And yeah, Kwekwe wasn't conducive for the kind of business he wanted to do. So he moved us.
Ah, okay. And then that transition between Kwekwe to, you know, Bulawayo, for example, what was that like as a child?
I don't remember much the transition, like, because literally we got into a car and the next thing we were in this house.
Hey, okay.
And it was like, okay, this is where we are doing life.
Yeah.
What I do remember was switching from the preschool where I was at, what people would call like ECD now, or kindergarten, or whatever.
Yeah.
and then going to this bougie.
Shoot.
going to this bougie preschool. And I'm like, oh yeah, I loved it. It was called St. Gabriel.
Yeah.
And meeting white teachers. For some reason, I was so, like, I was one of those black kids who was not afraid of white people. Like, white people,
cool.
I am there. Bring me. Come, you know.
Bring it on.
So, so being around that different environment, I think that's when I just learned to discover myself. And funny enough, that's when they discovered, yo, this child can talk.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah, so that's what I pretty much remember about the whole transition. It was the preschool aspect that, oh, okay, I'm leaving this place. I don't even remember the school I was at in Kwekwe.
Yeah.
All I remember is now I'm in this bougie school. That's
okay.
What I, that was like the thing that stood out for me.
Yeah.
I was like, okay, life is about to get pretty good.
Yeah. And then primary school in a bougie place, I'm sure that on its own, would you say, because you, like you said, you went when you were doing like your ECD and all that. So when you did primary now in a white neighborhood with white people, was it easier?
Well, man, Bulawayo at that time, you know what? I think that's why Bulawayo is so different from most of the other towns in Zimbabwe.
Yeah.
Bulawayo, black, white, colored, Indian, please, man. It's like one big happy
family.
It didn't
matter. Yeah.
It didn't matter.
Yeah.
So from St. Gabriel's, I went and I did my grade one at Coghlan, a primary school. And it was a prestigious government school.
Yes.
But, you know, like if you went to certain schools, like such as Coghlan, it was like, yo, you were like in a really good school.
Yes.
And Coghlan girls were called like the cream of Zimbabwe.
Mm.
And you can spot a Coghlan girl anyway. Like we were taught deportment, we were taught merit, we were taught the whole confidence, we were taught how to speak out. We were really taught like the fundamental values that a child should really have.
Yeah.
And true to their word, hey man, we are the cream of Zimbabwe. Any child that has attended Coghlan School, because Coghlan is still like a really good school even now.
Yes.
And you can see by how these children behave around other people in society. They stand out. We stick up like a sore thumb.
Oh my. Okay, so you can spot one like that one. That one.
Yeah, you can spot. You know, as long as they're confident. You know, there's always like that disparity where you're like, oh, wait a minute, is that a Coghlan girl? Is that a convent girl?
Yes.
Because, you know, the confidence levels are top-notch.
Yeah. Oh, lovely. And then the next, what we call high school or secondary school, how was that like?
Oh, I loved it.
Yeah,
that's
love
when
it.
I discovered who this girl is. That's when I discovered that, okay, this is what I like, this is what I don't like. And then I also started getting a bit of an attitude.
Oh, wow.
I was a very calm child. My mom, she passed on in 2018, though.
Yeah, sorry.
But she used to say to me, hey, you know, you used to be soft. Mm. Now you're this rough child. What's going on?
Yeah.
I was like, I don't know. I don't know. I guess, you know, teenager, 13 years old.
Yeah.
and all. And then I think I went into a day school for, I think in SA, it will be like your grade 8, grade 9.
Yeah.
So I went and I did my grade 8 at a day school.
Yeah.
By the time I finished that year, my mom was like, there is no way you are continuing in this day school because I don't even know who you are. Then she took me to boarding school for the rest of my schooling, high school.
Yeah.
I went to a Salvation Army school, a boarding school. Mission.
Yeah.
Okay, I went to Mission. And that's when I also grew up and discovered that certain attitudes are so unnecessary.
Yes.
Let's do and get the stuff done.
Yes.
Let's do what needs to be done. Mm. I also learned to be prayerful because you are mixed up with children from different backgrounds.
Yes, that's true.
And you now start remembering what your parents were teaching you or what you learned in church.
Yeah.
And so those that environment really then groomed me to say, hey, you better start knowing God for yourself at this point.
Yeah.
So high school was fun. I got to know what I was like around girls, what I was like around boys, and what kind of friends I wanted to have around.
Yeah.
And if we were not cool for like 3-4 months, trying to figure out if we're friends or not. No, I'm jumping ship. I wasn't staying there. I wasn't sticking around.
You weren't sticking around, eh?
No. I wasn't sticking around.
Sure, no, that's lovely. That's lovely. Flamboyant, or would you say I just knew who I was at high school?
No, I just knew who I was.
Ah.
I just knew who I was. Because listen, even though I was in boarding school, my mom's friends really influenced also how I then grew up. Because later on in life, my parents divorced.
Yeah.
And so my mom was now raising my siblings and myself, two other siblings, as a single parent. So she needed like this whole community then around her to help her. And the 4 or 5 friends that she had were all like in stable marriages. So there were plenty father figures that were around us.
Yeah.
And because we would see our dad like once in a while, every holiday, phone calls here and there.
Yeah.
But, you know, there's always that father figure that was quite important in a child's life. And so when we were out of line, trust me, there was always a Ndebele man to put us in check, a Nigerian man to put us in check, a Shona man to put us in check. Like there was always someone who was going to be like, are you trying to kill your mother?
Yeah.
About and all. So we quickly learned, like, hey, you better know who you are, where you're from, what kind of background you have. You may be in the same school. You may all be, you know, coming to this prestigious school or you are all in this mission place, but you've got different backgrounds.
Yeah.
So you better know where you're coming from and behave yourself.
Yeah.
At the end of this, you're all going to different houses.
Mm.
All this show off, being flamboyant and all, is not going to pay off.
Yeah.
So do the things that you need to be doing at school.
Ah, love it. So that shaped who you are and sort of grounded you to a very big extent. And I think, like you're saying, you know, being a prayerful person or being taught about prayer and the importance of God grounds one to a certain extent, eh?
Absolutely. Faith is such a big part of our lives growing up. Everyone is looking for something to believe in.
Yeah.
And when you find the right one, you just know because there's evidence with it.
Mm.
So when I found my faith was in Christ, I saw all the evidence around it. And there was no doubt that God exists and that Jesus Christ is alive because, you know, there was evidence around it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Becky K. Now, where does that come from now?
You, once upon a time.
Once upon a time, eh?
Okay, so the name Becky K, I'm married now. Okay,
yes.
I say like I was never married. Okay, so I married young. Married young because I thought I was ready.
Yeah.
And I just discovered somewhere along the line that, no, girl, you were not ready. You were in love, yes, maybe a little bit infatuated, but that wasn't strong enough to keep this marriage going. So we grew apart.
Yeah.
He had different interests. I also had different interests. And the best thing that we could have done for our son at that time was, hey, let's live happy lives, but away from each other.
Yeah.
So the marriage lasted about 5 years.
Yeah.
And I remember I kept on beating myself like, yo, you mean I failed at marriage? Ooh, I can't even put a marriage together.
Yeah.
Then at that time I was in South Africa.
Yeah.
And I had just completed about, I think about 7 years in South Africa, and I was working in the beauty industry because that is what I had qualified as. That was my profession for 12 years. This is what this girl knew. And then all of a sudden I decided, hey, listen, are we going to stay in South Africa or are we going to go back home and rethink our lives? And then if we're coming back to South Africa, then we come back. But I think you need to be around family. You need to be grounded.
Yeah.
You need to focus a little bit. Yeah. So in, oh God, I need to get my years right.
Okay,
in 2013.
Coming. Yeah.
Is it 2013? Yeah. No, 2014.
Happens. Yeah.
2014 January. I literally packed my bags.
Sure.
Packed my bags. At that time, now I now had two kids.
Yeah.
A boy and a girl, bless them.
Yeah.
I packed my bags and I left my whole life in South Africa.
Hmm.
And I went back to Zimbabwe with two Shangani bags and a pram. And I had to like rediscover myself and, you know, fight for my life and also for that of my children. Then, you know, settling back in Zim, like just like what I said, there's no place like home.
Yeah, no, there isn't.
Absolutely no place like home.
No,
and I then like found my feet again. And I said, I am going to make sure that my kids are the most important thing in my life at this point. Like right now, my kids are the most important thing. And whatever I am doing, it's going to be for them.
For them,
so I started doing beauty treatments at home.
Okay.
Just trying to, you know, create a name for myself. And then I discovered that the information that I had within the beauty industry in Zimbabwe wasn't there yet.
Yeah, yeah.
So it was a bit difficult.
Yeah.
And then I had to just go back to basics and do the treatments that they wanted. And I eventually then got a job in a department store where I was now then sharing my knowledge on skin care and you know, beauty, grooming, etiquette, and all of that.
Yeah.
And then my name sort of like grew in a certain area where I was working, like a different community from where I was normally staying. And now I'm in this industry and I'm sharing my beauty knowledge. And then one lady discovers me and says, hey, you've got a nice voice. There's this radio station. They are taking auditions.
Yeah.
Like they're looking for people to do voiceovers.
Yeah.
Would you be interested?
Sure.
And I was like, of course.
Sure.
I'd be interested. So my church background is Pentecostal.
Yeah.
Right? Before getting into the whole Adventist and everything.
Yes.
My church background is Pentecostal.
Yeah.
So I was doing announcements in church.
Yeah.
I was taking testimonies in church. So I was already serving in the media in church. And I'd never thought that I would ever be mainstream, that I would ever go into the corporate world with what I was doing in church.
Yes.
This woman picks me out and says, go and audition and check, maybe your voice might make the cut.
Yeah, yeah.
By the time I was done with the auditions, the next thing is, welcome to Spar. And I'm like, that's my voice. That's my voice. And I was doing voiceovers for banks.
Yeah.
I was doing voiceovers for grocery stores, for department stores, you know, for different brands.
Yeah.
And I was now making money.
A lot of money.
A lot of it.
Mm.
So not that I wasn't making money in the beauty industry, I was. But then it just got so, it made more sense.
And money is nice.
It made more sense.
Mm.
And then this, what year are we now? I think we're now in 2015.
Okay.
I took a leap of faith.
Yeah.
And then I said, I want to get into media, like, full time.
Sure.
So I leave my job.
Yeah.
With nothing to fall back on.
Yeah.
And I was still doing, like, maybe beauty treatments over the weekend.
Yeah.
But now really looking for, like, platforms where my voice could be heard.
Yeah.
And that people get to know me.
Yeah.
So that's when my media career then started. Not qualified whatsoever.
Yeah,
I don't even have a journalism diploma or even a certificate at this point. It's just my voice, my talent, and God.
Yeah.
And then God starts setting me up on these places.
Yeah.
2016, I host one of the biggest beauty pageants in the country.
Yeah.
And at this point, I was going by the name Rebecca because that's my name.
Yes.
Yeah, that's my full name.
Yeah.
So I'm on stage and I'm like, hey, everybody, my name is Rebecca. And people are like asking, who is this girl? Where is she from? Where has she been? What is she doing? And that's when the radio station that I was doing voiceovers for then looked for me.
Ooh.
And said, hey, we saw you. And I'm like, please, are you people for real? I do voiceovers for you. And then I got my first gig as a radio presenter. I was trained in-house.
Yeah.
And I dabbled around the breakfast show for a couple of months.
Yes.
I did drive time.
Yeah.
And then I also did the weekend show, you know, where, you know, you're just hyping people, party.
Yeah.
And I was then shifted from that Saturday show to then settle permanently on a show called Get Lifted.
Okay.
Because on the Saturday show, by the time we were finished, I was leading people to Christ. Yo. And then it was like, no, we can't do that. If you're doing party, let's do party.
Yeah, not Jesus and party.
Yeah, so, but I think we found a spot for you. So I did Sunday breakfast.
Okay.
For about 7 years at that radio station before I left.
Sure.
But my name on that radio station was Miss Becky.
Okay.
Because Rebecca, no, they said Rebecca doesn't do. It's not like so catchy, whole brand thing. Yeah. So the Becky K part then came when I remarried.
Yeah.
And I kept the Becky part.
Yeah.
I removed the Miss part. And then I took on my husband's last name, which starts with a K. And that's how we get Becky K.
Yeah.
But for Becky K to be there, it was that whole story, briefly, that brief story that I just shared for you.
Yeah, that's really amazing. I think it takes us really on your journey, where things started, where you currently are now in terms of just the career itself. Now, I just want to go back just a little bit on the hosting the pageant. What was that like? I mean, if the biggest pageant must have been like so big for you.
It was beautiful. I won't lie to you. Until today, I've got pictures from that day.
Yeah.
It was tiny. I look back at pictures of that day and I'm like, God did this.
Sure.
God
look
did
at that.
This. And all I had to do was show up.
Yeah.
And I was ready to be used. And I said, God, by the time I'm done with this stage, people are going to know that you are behind this great work that is being done.
Yeah.
And it being one of the biggest pageants. I mean, it's still happening, but it has never been as big as it was in 2016.
Yeah.
It was as if God just said, this is just for you, Bex.
Yeah, definitely. Like curated just specifically
exactly,
for you.
Exactly.
That's beautiful.
And I was working with you know, high profile people.
Yes.
I met a lot of people. Some whom I'm still in contact with now.
Yeah.
And that's when I learned that, you know, when you are yourself, the light just draws to you. People are just drawn to you when you are yourself. It's only for you to fake it and pretend like you've made it when you haven't. Let the realness in you just, you know, open the way for you.
Yeah, definitely. And it seems like media just found you, like you said, right?
It
just
did.
Was curated for you. God wanted you in this particular space. But it has its own challenges. What would you say is the one challenge you've faced so far? I know a lot of people, particularly ladies who are in the space, would tell you it's a tough one also for ladies.
It is a tough one. Right at the beginning of it, you know, although I was enjoying, you know, getting booked and getting the phone calls and, you know, just being known and being noticed, almost famous to say, right? There was a lot of exploitation.
Yeah.
From so-called clients.
Yeah.
who say they want you to work with them, but then they don't want to pay you.
Yeah, yeah.
They spoke a lot about exposure.
Yeah.
And for me, right at the beginning, I think 2016, I was like, you know, it's okay. I can do 2-3 jobs for free, not a problem.
Mm.
But just cater for my hair, my makeup, and my transport.
Yes.
Like, I can't just, you know, rock up. I need money to come looking the part.
Yeah.
But 2017 was the year that I really felt abused in the industry, like really. And yeah, it actually makes me sad thinking about it, how I allowed people to treat me that way in the name of exposure or in the name of growth. So I think the biggest, the most painful thing that women face, because men can say no, and then they can pick another man or like another male MC. But with female MCs, it's a bit like the pool is a bit small. It's not as wide, although it's growing now. And they're like, oh, so you don't want, so we're going to go to the next one. And there you are. You really need the money, you know. But the money is so little. You're like, what will I do with this? I'd rather do this thing for free. So 2017 was a big lesson for me. And I'm not disputing the fact that there are certain jobs that if you do for free, it can open bigger doors for you.
Yeah.
But you also had to be wise about those decisions.
Yeah.
So I now started looking at who is going to be there at the event.
Yeah.
Who's invited?
Yeah.
Is there someone who will see my work and be like, I want to work with that girl?
Yes.
So there were some events where I had to bite the bullet and say, no, I cannot perform.
Yeah.
I cannot. I cannot come through an MCU event.
Yeah.
And they'll say stuff, and then I had to just, you know, swallow it and say, it's okay.
Yeah.
The next job.
Definitely.
So the exploitation and people negotiating your price.
Mm.
And before that, hey, they'll be chatting you up. Oh, you are so good. We want you to do this. And then you're like, okay, here's my price. And
exactly.
It's like, but you're only going to be there for 3 hours. And you're you are calculating 3 hours. I'm calculating audience. I'm calculating value.
Yeah.
I'm calculating like everything. I'm calculating a lot of things.
Yeah.
And all you're focused on is, you're going to be there for 3 hours and probably speak for 30. No, my guy.
Yeah.
People are going to see me on this platform.
Definitely.
And I'm not going to take less than a certain amount.
Definitely.
Yeah, so those are some of the challenges still happening, but now I know exactly where to say no and where to say yes.
Yes. Oh, that's lovely, lovely. And what is the one high point so far?
What is the one high?
High point so far in the career.
I think for me was being chosen to be a BBC correspondent. I know.
Sure.
Sounds nice, right?
That's really big. Anything with BBC, you're already like, okay, that email you must respond to or that call, you just pick it up.
Yeah. Mm. And I remember my audition. It was during COVID.
Yeah.
People were losing jobs. I was getting one.
Look at that.
I know, right? And my and my interview was over the phone. The producer of the show, it's not on at the moment. They discontinued it, and I'm part of a different thing altogether now. But my interview was over the phone, and I just had to read a script.
Yeah.
And then he was like, you sound good.
Yeah.
I'll be sending you scripts, then we'll tweak it here and there.
Yeah.
I remember my first recording, I had to redo it twice.
Yeah.
Because I said, I am going to show them that I speak this British English.
Yes, yeah. And the accent and everything.
And, you know, I really, that was not, like, my accent was still very, you know, clean.
Okay.
But it was the words that I was using.
Ah.
So the producer writes back and says, listen, Becky, no one talks like that. And I was like, oh, it's not English enough for you. He's like, no, listen. It was a bit too English. I need you to tell us the business stories in Africa, but as if you were talking to your friend.
Yes,
okay?
Yes.
And I was like, oh, why didn't you say so? So I had to redo like the first clip of it. Yeah. And from then on, you know, I was learning.
Yeah.
I was learning.
Yeah.
And they really held my hand and they taught me a lot about the media industry, about journalism, and about just how to report a story.
Yeah.
They really taught me a lot. So that was, I think that could be like a high point for me. Like for being radio presenter, MC, and then now they're like, hey, listen, BBC is looking for you.
Look at that. Becky K going global.
Going global.
Yo. That's really big. Okay. I'm mindful of the time. So I want to come back to the question around finances and money, because we are a business show. And so we ask these things around money. They become very important.
Absolutely.
How do you define your relationship with money?
My guy, I can't find the words. I think it's a love-hate relationship.
Oh, okay, that's interesting.
Yeah, it's a love-hate relationship. When it's good, it's good. When it's bad, it's like really bad.
Okay.
But that's only because money has principles.
Yes, yes.
And I don't know, for some reason, it's taking me long to learn these money principles.
Ish,
and it's not like I don't know them.
Yeah.
It's like I know them, but then, okay, fine, Becky, let's apply them, hey?
Yeah.
Let's apply the principles that you know, okay?
Yeah.
And so that when it's bad, you're like, yeah, it's not that bad.
Yeah.
But at this point, no, when it hits rock bottom.
It hits rock bottom.
The rock bottom has a basement.
Yeah. It's that deep.
that deep. So
yeah.
I'm still on that course of, okay, this is the principle of money. This is how it works.
Yeah.
And if you don't save for a rainy day, the rainy day is coming the next day.
Yeah,
and
definitely.
You are not ready.
Yeah.
Yes. And then you will start casting demons and, you know, blaming people and witchcraft and all of that. But you just didn't do things that was meant to be done.
Yeah.
And you've got only yourself to blame. So... My relationship with money, love-hate.
Love-hate relationship. And what is the one thing that you say to your kids about money?
I always tell them that you must save.
You must save.
You must be able to save and make your money grow. You save for a particular thing. You just don't save.
Ah, okay.
Yes,
okay.
You are keeping the money for what? What is it? A job.
What's the
objective? Give the money a job.
Yes.
Yes. If your money doesn't have a title attached to it or an assignment attached to it, it's going to grow legs and it's going to run. Because I've seen it happen to me where I just saved money, but the money didn't have a name.
Yeah.
It was just money.
Yeah.
And things would happen around me and I'm just paying stuff, spending. And before you know it, I don't have that money anymore. So I do try and give them like allowances, they do chores, you do good at something, you know, you help around, you know, I give you some money here and there.
Yeah.
And then, you know, save it, but save it towards something. Are you buying so that you can resell something and that money grows?
Yeah.
Or are you saving so you can chop the money?
Yay.
What are you saving? Yes.
And the chopping part is always the nice one. Eh?
Yes, no, the chopping them. I mean, like if you work, you must take time out to reward yourself for that work. It's not a punishment.
Yeah,
Why are you punishing yourself?
Very critical question. Yeah, don't punish yourself. love it. Okay, as we conclude, looking at your younger self, the younger Becky K, what advice would you give to her?
Oh, I would tell Becky to calm down.
Calm down.
Calm down. I probably would go back to Becky 8 years old.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And say, calm down.
Calm down. Sure. It's going to be okay. Like, calm down.
Yeah.
Things are going to happen around you. Things are going to happen to you.
Yeah.
You're going to win some. You're going to lose some. There's no need for you to throw a big tantrum. Calm down. It is going to work out. Calm down.
And would you do anything differently?
Would I do anything differently?
Would you do anything with the knowledge of saying calm down? What would you do differently?
Yeah. I wouldn't have reacted to certain situations the way I reacted to them. I would have definitely taken more time in silence, in solitude, praying.
Yeah.
And just discovering God's will about certain situations that I've been through, as opposed to allowing the flesh.
Yeah.
To respond and cause an even bigger mess
because
I wasn't calm or because I didn't choose to be calm.
Yeah.
Or maybe I didn't know how to be calm.
Yeah.
But like, calm down. Because that's one thing I've learned to do now. Like in the midst of a storm, I'll be like, okay, Wusa, let's breathe.
Wusa. Ooh, love it.
Yes.
Wusa just a little bit. They say you never mention a lady's age, and I'm sorry to mention that, but what's the next 10 years for you? You're 40, you've achieved so much. What's the next to achieve now? Like, really?
I was hoping you didn't catch that 1984 part. Anyway, the next 10 years, oh man, yeah. I just want to live. Because of the way my life has been and the things that I've been exposed to, I don't regret the place where God has placed me right now with the knowledge that I have.
Yeah.
But I wish I had lived for God earlier.
Ooh, okay.
Yeah, I wish I had lived for God earlier. But it's never too late.
It's never
God
too late.
Calls you, God calls you. Yeah. So my next 10 years are very intentional.
Yeah, ooh.
Very intentional. The places I go, the people I speak to. I mean, even this interview, you know, when I got the message and the request, I did my research and I was like, this is a God platform.
This
is a God platform. It's a good one, but it's also a God platform.
Yeah.
And Beth is all about being intentional about the things of God.
Mm.
So the next 10 years for me are very intentional. Very intentional. The way I raise my kids, the way I love my husband, the way I'm going to love myself, the way I'm going to love the people around me, my siblings, my family. It's all going to be very intentional, and God is going to be seen throughout all those intentional decisions. And peradventure, if I don't make the right choice along the way, I know that God is going to help me out to reconfigure the situation and restructure it and realign me, because the intentionality is very important. I'm not going to be haphazard about certain decisions, haphazard about my prayer life. I can't be haphazard about how I read the Bible. I'm going to be very intentional, like very.
I think you've just given me hope as well, you know, and
there is hope.
Oh, you've just given me hope. And thank you so much for that. And what would be your last words, young people, particularly, especially black young ladies?
Oh, be confident. I love the fact that you said black young ladies.
Yeah.
Because there's that, it's a definitive line that we have. It's not even a thin line.
Yeah.
It's so defined.
Sure.
If I place a 23-year-old black girl next to a 23-year-old white girl,
it's definitive.
It's, oh my goodness, the confidence that the white girl will have will shock you. But I want to speak to the young black girl listening now, or even the young black man listening now. You need to be confident.
Sure.
You cannot allow yourself to be blown by the wind.
Yeah.
You need to know whose you are. You need to know who you are. You need to know where you are going. If you don't know where you're going, anywhere will look like it. Everywhere will look like you have arrived.
Yeah.
So be confident in knowing that the promises that God has for you in your life are yes and amen.
Ooh.
There's no disaster that can ever stop the promises that God has for you. So be confident. Find confidence in something that can be proven.
Yeah.
Find confidence in God. And don't let anybody tell you otherwise. The same thing that your other 23-year-old counterpart can achieve, you can achieve, if not even more.
Yeah.
Yes. Learn to speak out when you're being treated unfairly.
Yeah.
But also do it in a godly manner. You don't do it in a manner that is to hurt other people or to make other people feel low.
Yeah.
So I think my last words to them would be, be confident in Christ.
Confident in
your confidence must definitely be in Christ.
Yo, that's being intentional. It's not haphazard. Not just a haphazard.
Look
confidence.
At that.
it's a decided, intentional confidence that it is in God. Sure.
Yeah.
Lovely.
Yeah.
My producers, I was just typing to her right now and talking to her and saying, I think this is part one. I think there's still quite a bit to unpack. So I look forward to having the second conversation with you. Time is always the biggest enemy, but just from this last few minutes that you've spent, I've really learned a lot, and I do think that our listeners as well will certainly learn a lot and look forward to
thank you.
Conversations. Where can people find you? Where can they follow you?
All right, I'm on all social media platforms as Becky K, except for Instagram, where I am official Becky K. But if you just type Becky K, you will find me.
Ah, thank you so much, ma'am. Have a good evening, and may God bless you and family as
well. And you too. And you did well.
Ah, thank you. Thank you so much. Oh, wow. Thank you so much. I'm really humbled by
that. Awesome stuff, Tapelo.
Thank you so much. Have a good one.
Okay. Great.
Bye-bye. Bye. Of course, so we were talking there to Becky K. Yeah, I'm blessed, I'm inspired, and I hope that you are as well.
You are tuned into Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.